last chapter of the first epistle of Peter. The first epistle of Peter and the last chapter. It's been a real joy in my heart to have been with you over the past days, to having had the privilege of ministering with John and the things of God to you, and the privilege of meeting you as during the course of the day so frequently we talk one with another concerning the things of God. And again, one has found that there has been deep on the hearts of so many of you a real burden for the fellowship from which you have come. A desire that God's name may be glorified amongst those that he has called you to labor with. And again, questions have been put to one or statements have been made concerning the local fellowship and concerning the elders and those that make up the fellowship. And I had on my heart just yesterday, and after very much prayer last night and some little preparation, I felt that I would like to share with you, especially maybe with those of us that would seek to feed and care for the flock of God, I would like to share with you something of the Word of God concerning elders and their responsibility, concerning sheep as well as shepherds and their responsibility. The fifth chapter, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not of constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither being lords over God's heritage, but being samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now the Lord will add his blessing, I'm sure, to the reading of his own precious word. I don't want just to look, for I haven't time this morning, at the general context of this first letter that Peter wrote. Sufficient to remind you that its great theme is summed up in the sufferings and the glory both of Christ, and the suffering and the glory of those that come to know him as Saviour and crown him as Lord. But when we come to this last chapter, there are two tremendous truths that seems to me that are being brought before. First, it is the truth of the shepherd, the elder. And when it is the truth, for they are always linked together in Holy Writ, the responsibility of the shepherd, but also the sheep, and the responsibility of the sheep. I remember years ago, away in the little North Devon town of Ilfracombe, ministering from one of the psalms at the annual conference. And during the course of my remarks, I had exhorted maybe with a little more fire than I've got now, if I was a wee bit younger, but nevertheless, I exhorted the elders to feed the sheep. And as we were walking up over the hill, a dear aged brother, Mr. Stevens, walked by my side. He said, "Brother Ford, could I ask you a question?" And I knew I was for it. By the way, you know, we have an entirely different custom in our country. And I remember so very, very well the first time I ever came to America and the first time I ever came. In my country, at the close of the meeting, if anyone marches up the front to speak to you, you can rest assured you've said something they haven't agreed with. But over here, as soon as the meeting is over, you come up to say thank you. It's a very nice thing. But the first time I was here, I saw almost the whole audience. You frightened the man to death. But that's just by the way. But as I was going up, this dear brother said, "I wonder if I can ask you a question." And a man who's been an elder and a good one for many long years said, "Brother Sam,
What do you do when the sheep don't want to be fed? So it's all very well to say feed the sheep.
But the same verses that say feed the sheep I'm going to suggest to you say sheep be willing to set the day. So we'll consider it together this morning if we may.
First of all then, if I may, a word to the elder, to the shepherd. You will notice, if you read with me carefully, there's a threefold description for us of an elder. And having given to us, as it were, the threefold description of an elder, then there's the threefold danger of an elder. And having spoken of the threefold description and the threefold danger of an elder, he shows us the threefold direction to an elder. And then draws the matter of shepherds and elders to a close by reminding us not only of their description and their danger, not only of giving them direction, but he draws it to a close by telling us of the threefold diadem of an elder. First of all then, let's have a look at the threefold description of an elder. You will notice that verse 1 says this of him, Peter dares to write, the elders which are among you. The elders which are among you. Now you will notice this word elder. It does not say the priests which are among you. It does not say in effect the elders that are over you. It says the elders, not priests, elders which are among you. Now the word elder is, as most of you are aware, the word that we always translate as to a presbyter. And it is indeed the thought of one who is this presbyter, this elder. And we look at him, a man of some years, a man of some experience, a man of some ability. And Peter writes to those that are presbyters, those that are elders amongst you. You will notice that not only does he call them presbyters or elders, but he goes further and he dares to say of them that they are the proclaimers of Christ's supper. For he lives himself with them. He says, who also am an elder and a witness, a telephor of the sufferings of Christ. Now those brethren that I'm speaking to today and sisters who seek over the younger sisters to have a watchful eye and care, may I dare suggest to you that the Lord is saying to each one of us, that we are those who shall be not over the people of God, but among them. We shall be part of them. We shall be those that are mixing with them, those that are familiar with their needs. One of the great problems today is that those that get older, as they get older by the natural course of life, they find themselves unable to do what younger people can do, and they're apt to withdraw themselves. And yet I have a feeling that as Peter dares to say, the elders that are among you, he's not only saying to elders, keep yourselves in touch with your flock, but he's daring to say to younger folk, don't you ever place yourself in a position where you've withdrawn from elders. For as I said the other day, and I could not emphasize it more, the more I read the Word of God, and in my desire to be associated with a New Testament church, this is essential. The more I read the Word of God, the more I realize that if elders are to be amongst them, the responsibility is not only with the elder being there, but with the younger and others being willing to have them there. Oh, let us with all our heart pray. Let us with all our being work that there shall be no division amongst God's folk, but that as a family of God, young and older, we may present to the world and to angelic beings the wonder of God, church, in Jesus Christ, the oneness of the body. Then you will notice that, as I have said, they are proclaimers of Christ's suffering. I'm glad of it. That an elder is a man who is familiar with, an elder is a man who is continually meditating upon the greatest theme of the Christian church, that we preach Christ, Him crucified. We preach Christ, and Him crucified. Oh, that we might ever find ourselves under the shadow of the cross. What was it the poet said? Did he not remind us, thou center of all time and space, thou throne of God, thou fount of grace, thou meeting place twixt earth and heaven, thou lightning rod, me sword wrought with them, thou altar where Christ died for me, my soul salute thee.
Help, those of us that are elder, let us continually dwell under the shadow of the sufferings of the Christ.
But then you will notice that an elder, as we look at this description of him, he's first of all a presbyter, an elder. He is second a proclaimer of Christ's suffering. But he is also a partaker of Christ's glory.
Oh, I love that.
A partaker of Christ's glory. The elders which are among you I exhort, who also am an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed.
Is not this wonderful? I wonder if I may ask you just to turn with me a moment, please, to the 8th chapter of that lovely epistle to the Romans. Romans chapter 8. And I wonder if we could just read together some glorious words. Oh, I know you know them, and I need scarcely ask you to turn to them, but I feel we must have the very scripture brought before. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. So, in us, that's it. Not the glory that shall be revealed, but revealed in us. And while we look forward to that blessed day, when by grace we shall enter in fully to the glory, let us never forget that the apostle could write to the church at Colossae and say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's not heaven, that's the hope of glory now. Never let us forget that we have been reminded in the 8th of Romans that whom he hath justified, then he hath also glorified. Oh, that we might together experience something of the glory. And my brother, who seeks in a fellowship to care for the flock, small as that fellowship may be, as weak as you may feel yourselves, oh, let us be those that seek to abide under the shadow of the cross, and yet to know something of the glory of the Christ who lives. Oh, lead me to the man that makes a better of him anyway. Dear old Alfred Mason, him that thrilled one heart. Oh, lead me to the man that John, who all God's nature glorified, descending to the depths of woe, and for me conquered every God. Oh, that you and I might be associated, my brother, my sister, with a Christ, as an elder, a presbyter, as one who indeed is the proclaimer of the sufferings of Christ, and also one who in a very real way is a partaker of the glory that shall follow. But then would you notice that having brought before the description of an elder, he goes forward and he dares to tell us of the danger of an elder. And there's a threefold danger for every elder. And please, I am not being critical. I have labored amongst God's folk in enough countries to know this, that he who desires the office of a bishop desireth a good work. 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 Oh, that you and I might realize, my brother, my sister, that if an elder is doing his work as God would have to do it, have him do it, it's work indeed. And I'm not being critical, but I must just consider with you, for the word of God brings it before. He says that there is a threefold danger for every elder. First of all, the danger of laziness. Second, the danger of lucre. And thirdly, the danger of lording. He says, first of all, here is the danger of laziness. He says, take the oversight not by constraint, but willingly. Or is it not a fact that many a time those of us that seek in some small measure, I say those of us, but I am not an elder, of course, you would appreciate as an evangelist. I have no association with the local fellowship. No mention of the gift of the evangelist.
This is not the column. But also, no mention of the gift of the evangelist. It's not whatever the doctrine of the commanded to be led in other countries. Not the gift of the evangelist there. Of course, But I dare say that those of us who would seek to prepare in some small measure for the Church of God, I think it's rather good to realize that we are called to do it willing. How many times is it natural for us to sit back in our chairs and sort of say, "Oh, I'm so tired." And we have to be constrained to get on with the work of God. How easy it is when maybe having been accepted in our assembly as one that has to lead over the church of God, to sit back and become somewhat lazy in the service of God, and to say, this must ever be the mark of an elder, so he must willingly do his work. Willingly do his work. And then would you notice not only the danger and danger it is of laziness, but the danger of the love of living. For he goes further in verse 2 and says, that they preach the gospel must live by the gospel, I know. But he dares to say in verse 2, that feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for a filthy lucre, but of a ready mark. Oh, I expect some of you sit back when you read words like those and say to yourself,
oh, dear me, you've never got any
lucre
from the assembly that I
can have to lucre. Oh, I won't get any
lucre.
I'm always
sure
to give something.
Well, that's true. That's true. But I have a feeling he must face it. It is a danger, is it not? It is a danger sometimes, even the affairs of God and in the affairs of business, to use the things of God to try and improve our business. We need to be careful. I say no. Pass no further comment than that. This is but the word of God. I am but responsible to preach it. Then not only the love of laziness and the love of lucre, but the love of lording it over God's people. Oh, hearken. Verse 3, neither acting lords over God's heritage, but being enchanted to the flock. Oh, but those of us that are elders, may as we speak in some measure of the care for the church, and it's interesting, is it not? When the Apostle Paul writes, he speaks this way. He speaks of ruining your own house, preparing for the church of God. Oh, we rule our family, but we care for the church. We watch over. And oh, blessed are those that have the privilege, though to, in some measure, labor in the assemblies of God's church, amongst the local judges, God grant that we may not lord it over. Oh, then he writes to the letter of Philemon, you remember, he comes in verses 8 and 9, and this is how the apostle pleads with one who somehow has become hard in his approach to others. He dares to say, yes, for love's sake. Yes, for love's sake, I rather beseech thee. He is called the age of prisoner. Oh, the love of the constrained one to care for another. He could lord it. He could write and say, oh, but he never did. As it is said, in Paul the age of prison. Then it's so easy, threefold description of an elder, and the threefold danger of an elder. Peter is going to bring before us the threefold direction of an elder. Feed the flock of God. Let us defend the flock. Feed the flock. I suggest to you, first of all, he tells us that the flock must be fed fearlessly. He tells us that the flock of God must be fed freely. And he tells us the flock of God must be fed faithfully. Is that right? Oh, look at it. I didn't put it there, please. I didn't write. First of all, he says, feed the flock of God fearlessly. Not constrained by fear or favor. But he dares to tell us that we must feed it fearlessly. Hearken again to the glorious words of verse 2. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight of, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mark. Go forward to feed that flock of God. Oh, brethren, with no fear or favor before our eyes, to speak to prayer. Now I know it is the most difficult thing to feed the flock of God. No man can give what he has not got himself. Most of you are aware that my favorite psalm is the 144th psalm. You know the lovely words, speaking indeed of the elders, he dares to say that your garners may be full, affording all manner of joy. Your brethren, sisters, is it not a fact that sometimes we get into our garners some sort
We become very familiar with certain portions of the Bible. We know the wondrous truths of the return of the Lord. We're familiar with the great truths of the offering. We know something of the glorious message, indeed of the minor or major prophet. But the whole of the Word of God says this, that there may be all manner of sort in the flock of God. All that you and I may give to those that are in our fellowship. That food which not we think we are masters of and therefore can give them, but give them that which we see they need. And I'm persuaded of this, there may be some of you disagree with me, I wouldn't like you to, I would like you to be right, but you know, I am persuaded of this, that Peter is not necessarily saying that that elder shall be the one that shall pass on the food. Now I know the qualifications of an elder is that he's got to be. But it is the prophet of God. And you parents should hold. Why, you know there comes occasions when if your children are unable to eat, if something is wrong, you do not necessarily yourself say, well, I must go and cook that meal. If you go to get some food, someone else may have prepared that you can pass on to. And I've been killed these past days as we have been listening indeed to the work of the mayor and the opportunities of faith that can be used in the different challenges. This would never take the place of an elder teaching. There come times when sometimes you call in others to help. You feed the flock of God. Do it fearlessly. Then you'll notice not only feeding fearlessly, but feeding freely. I suggest again as we look at the front. He's going to say not considering our payment. He's going to say feed it freely, not for filthy lucre. I want to say a word here because I can. You see, I know many of you. But I am a stranger. But I have often heard, not necessarily here, though I have heard some little talk along this line. I've often heard folks say, well, you know, we would like to invite Brother so and so, but we're such a small assembly. Said, well, we couldn't take his minister to his knees. Now, I've been many years preaching the gospel. 30 years or so ago, I trusted Christ, and 3 years after I trusted the Savior, I laid aside what I was doing, that fully I might give myself to the ministry of the gospel. And in many countries it's been my joy to have served the Lord. And I want to say this, that I have met hundreds of brethren that have given themselves to the service of God in this house. I have never yet met one of them. Now I've spoken to hundreds of them. I've never yet met one of them who is asked to go to a small meeting because of the consideration of being unable to meet his needs, that brother would say no. Now, I've never met one. And when I hear brethren speak of them, I don't know if I could rise up in protest. Generally speaking, the little meeting who says, no one comes where we are, and never ask anyone to come where they are. And I've a feeling some of you small meetings, I've a feeling that if only you'd ask, you'd find someone would come ahead. And it would not be the thought of anything but a desire to see. And this has been my experience of God's people. And I can only say what I have found. Feed them not only fearlessly and freely, but safely as examples to the flock. All that those that are elders may be examples to the flock, that the younger, the older in the fellowship. And when we speak of younger, things, I'm not speaking of younger in age, I'm speaking of younger in just experience. You know, I meet some young folks that are orders and the things of God, and I meet some old folks that are children and the things of God. I meet some folks who just trusted Christ, they need to 60 or 70. They just trusted Christ. They're young people at the church of God. I've met young men at 20 and 30 who trusted the Savior when they were 7 or 8 or 9, have been raised in the things of God, and in some measure are elders in the things of God. So when I speak to these young people, I'm not speaking necessarily of young folks of age. I'm speaking more of young folk in Christian experience. And he dares to say, oh, feed them faithfully. Be examples to them. I know this as far as I am concerned. But when I was first converted, it was what my brethren were, not what my brethren said, that affected me most of all. And then he goes further, and having given the threefold direction, he reminds us of this threefold dialogue. He says, those of you that are elders, don't forget that first of all, there is a promise of the crown of life for your faithfulness in Revelation 3. There is the promise of the crown of righteousness for your fighting. I have fought a good fight. Oh, I like that, don't you? I like that. I don't know much about many things, but I know a little bit about fighting. And I do know this,
that when the apostle speaks, he says, I fought a good fight. Some people imagine fighting as standing up and letting someone hit you. That's slaughter, that's not fighting. Fighting is giving him one back there, that's not too bad. And it's a good fight. The real devil may come, and sometimes strike us, but isn't it good to give him one back? Yeah. Oh, he's dead. I put under the crown of righteousness. If there is a crown indeed of life for our faithfulness, there's a crown of righteousness for our fighting. And here he dares to say, there's a crown of glory for our thieving. For if we feed the flock of God, we're fine as before. When the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory. Oh, blessed be his name, and it saves not a lot. Now here then, Peter has something to say to elders. I trust I have passed it on in some gracious manner. For I have a great love for those that care. I know their problems. I know so frequently how they're criticized. I know how difficult it can be. I know how quickly the evil one comes and suggests that we sit back and we do nothing. My brethren, may I say this to you? Step on. Bless God, people who appreciate you. Bless God. There's a God in heaven, and Christ the head of the church, who will take you where you are. But having spoken indeed of the shepherd, now it seems to me he speaks of the sheep. And goes on verse 5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. All of you be subject to it, one to another. I suggest to you that if there is a threefold description, indeed of the elder, here we have three great truths concerning not the shepherd, but the sheep. First of all, the sheep are exhorted to honor the shepherd. They are exhorted to humble themselves. And they are exhorted to hinder Satan. Now that's three good things. First of all, we are exhorted to honor the shepherd. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Oh, that we might aid those that watch over us, those that care for us. And we may be those that as we gaze at them and observe their example and listen to their ministry, though sometimes we feel, oh, if only they would tell us a little more. See, I often hear folks, don't you? I often hear folks say, ah, yes, but you know, it's so simple, the ministry. We want something a bit deeper. Well, it's nice to have this ministry. It's essential. But I do remember the time, you know, when first I was converted. And I went along to the meeting, and the preacher used to say, 22! Just like that, now. Wasn't that lovely? Or if he said, twice one is two now, I'd say, hey, I'm out of the infant's class. But there are still others in the fellowship that have come into the infant's class. There are still others just been born again. And they need to know that twice one is two. I might have even got up to the five-time table. But they're still in their first table. So never let us forget that there are young folks that need, those that have just been brought into the children, into the house of God, they are need to be fed, and maybe the ministry is a little simple for them. Maybe there are those that have been a long way on the journey, and so you older, you younger folks, may I suggest you don't forget that there are those that have been on the road a good time and need a little more than quite one. To see that we together, how essential it is to be together, and how quickly we get to appreciate one another's needs. But I've never very much contributed to this business of folk who always being accused of preaching above folks' heads. I remember my good friend St. Catherine once said, I might preach above their heads, but I only preach where their heads ought to be. And there we are. You know, it's good sometimes to get our heads where they ought to be. But don't go too far above. Just try it so they want to get a little bit more and to get there. But nevertheless, those in the church, let's honor our shepherd. Our attitude and ambition and activity is changed when we become a Christian. Oh, that we might first be those that honor our shepherd. And then will you notice not only honor our shepherds, but humble ourselves. Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. You know, I never read this verse. Some of you have heard me tell this story before, but I never read this verse without remembering
the ministry that I heard when I was first converted. I don't suppose I've been saved a couple of years. And it was never given as ministry, but by it's been ministry that stayed with me all my life. We had in our fellowship a dear elder, Mr. Tangeri, who used to be a petty officer in the Navy. And when he got converted, all he did was to transfer the deck of the ship to the chapel meeting place. But I tell you, you didn't say a word that was out of place as you were told us. But as young folk, we loved it. Because we knew where we stood with it. But we knew everything. We always had a crowd of young folk, young men in our meeting, and we always knew to pray, you know. And on Monday at our prayer meeting, we were all kneeling down praying. When suddenly one of the young lads, Basil Hepburn was his name, I remember him so well. Dear Basil, as he knelt down, he said, "Lord, make me humble." And suddenly, from the other side of the prayer room, I heard Mr. Tangeli in a real petty officer's voice say, "Lord, don't answer his prayer." Did you know? I opened my eyes and looked. And the prayer meeting was over, and Basil didn't carry on that longer. And I watched to see old Brother Pendelly got up from his knees. He walked across the prayer room, and he put his arms around the lad's shoulder. And with all the love of an elder, and he was that as big and tough and rough a man as he was, with all the love of an elder, he said, "Son, don't pray like that. The Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. If you ask God to humble you, he may take on you a burden so great that the whole church will weep to see you pass through what God places on you. Don't pray like that. Humble yourself, laddie. Humble yourself." No, it wasn't a sermon. It was never preached at a ministry meeting. How many times has God said to me over the years? Hundreds of times, Lord, humble yourself. Oh, let's humble ourselves. Time is finished. Not only are we called to honor our shepherds and humble ourselves, but hinder Satan. Be sober, verse 8. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Paul's a roaring lion. Of course, the scripture speaks of him sometimes coming in sheep's clothing. So I often think of the loveless story, don't you? Of David, as he went to fight the lion and the bear. I don't know if there's anything more opposite than a lion and a bear to fight. When a lion fights, it says, "Yeah, don't like you." But when a bear fights, it comes off on its hind legs and it throws up its arms and it says, "Oh, I love you." Sometimes it's the tail of the lion and sometimes the hug of the bear, but the end is destruction. Bless God. So it was a David that could slay the lion and the bear. Thank God, if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Oh, may we be those who honor our shepherd. Those who humble ourselves. Those who speak in all